John had a lot to say. John was a very practical writer. You won't find any proverbs in his letter. You'll find he just dealt with what was going on. And a lot of the things that he wrote, I mean, just John 3:16, the most famous verse in the world. But there was another verse that he wrote that is very important to all of us. And that was in the first chapter of the book of John, John 1:17. We're here today because that verse. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but," there's that little three-letter word, "grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now you think about that. We don't have to believe the law and observe the law to be godly. All we have to do is surrender our souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has provided grace and truth for every one of us. What a wonderful thing. The most mysterious and wonderful thing about God is his willingness to pour out his grace upon creatures such as us. We are here as a consequence of the creation of Adam and Eve. God loves the creation. He wants to bless the work of Jesus Christ. In our opening verse, we see that Moses gave the law, which man could not keep. So God provided an alternative. He provided grace and truth. He provided a way for mankind, people like you and I, sinners who could not keep the law, who violated the law. He provided a way for people like you and I to be able to talk to him, fellowship with him, be a part of him. And that way was Jesus Christ. We learn that grace and truth came by Jesus. Grace is such a spectacular way of God interacting with man. And when we think about the different kinds of animals that were part of the creation, man is the only one who can comprehend and experience God's grace. Only man, only you, only me. God's grace is reserved just for mankind. And with everything else, natural law is the true rule. In Romans chapter 5, we read Romans 5, 1 and 2, "Therefore, being justified by faith," that means we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Now, we didn't realize before we came to know Jesus Christ that we were living in the atmosphere of God's grace, but we were. Even before we were saved, we were experiencing God's grace in many parts of our lives. Some of you know and can think back to when God spared your life. Sometimes even before you were saved. before you belonged to him, before you had given your soul to him, before you had given your heart to him. He saved your life because he knew, given enough time, we'd get around to dealing with him and dealing with our souls. Now that we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, we are standing in the middle of God's grace. You're not here by accident. You're here by grace, the grace of God. God's grace has been manifested upon this earth for thousands of years. God's grace was first shown to a man named Noah. And we read in Genesis 6:8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that magnificent? That was before Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is here because of God's grace. We can understand from this verse that grace is initiated by God. You didn't earn it. He gave it to you. He poured it out upon you. God wants to reward us for what we're doing that pleases him. We can be gracious, but we can't produce grace. Only God can produce grace. And his grace delivers us from disaster and even death. There are even times when God's grace is poured out on sinners, but that's to provide another chance to get things right with him by a loving God who has given you his grace. Without grace, without the grace of God, it's impossible to please him. Because none of us are perfect. Now, that may come as bad news or a surprise to some of you, but none of us are perfect. And unfortunately, a lot of times we know that. But look at this statement made about the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 2, 39 and 40. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. That is talking about when Jesus Christ was brought before God and dedicated on the eighth day and circumcised. And then there's this statement in verse 40 of Luke 2. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Think about that. Jesus Christ grew up just like you did. The only difference was he also had another nature, which none of us have. He had the nature of God. But God still poured out his grace upon him. That's what it says right here. He waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God helped him to grow up to be the Savior that we have all come to know and enjoy and love. Even Jesus, as a man, needed the grace of God operating in him. When Jesus took the form of a man, he had to endure all the natural and normal things that a man experiences as he grows up. It was after Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him that things became significantly different. It was after his baptism and the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was tempted and gained victory over the devil and temptation. Luke 3, 21, 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, so being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. It was the grace of God that prepared Jesus for his ministry that he carried out here on earth over 3 short years. God's grace prepared him for that ministry. That ministry was to all of mankind. It wasn't to just a select one here and select one there. Everyone who lives upon this earth has that opportunity. Luke 4:1-5 says, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, talking about getting ready for his temptation. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. He could have done that. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and it was delivered to him, still is, and to whomever I will give it, if thou therefore wilt worship me, and shall be thine. All shall be thine. He was offered what he had made, what he had created by the devil. And he does the same thing to us. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thou behind me, Satan, for it's written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And the devil was tempting him, saying, In pride, cast yourself down because you're the Son of God and God will save you with his angels. In their hand shall they bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Every temptation that any of us have ever experienced, Jesus went through before we did, without sin. Hebrews 4:14-16 tells us, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed under the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, as you sit here this morning, God's grace is available to you when you need it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is that word again, grace, that we are looking at this morning, appearing twice in verse 16. This passage in Hebrew causes me to think about another verse in Titus 2:11-14. Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It was grace that brought salvation to your soul. God's grace. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. When I tell you that AB is a little peculiar and Jimmy's a little peculiar, I'm telling you the truth. I'm quoting scripture, okay? Even Ricky is a little peculiar. While we are going to consistently find the grace of God at work in each of our lives, but much more in our hearts, there is only one source of God's grace. It is through his word. It is in obedience to his word that we experience his grace. As we're faithful to the commands of our Lord, we are going to realize the grace of God working in both the situations in our lives and in our hearts. It works in our lives as well as in our hearts. The Bible tells us of the most important work of that God's grace does in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You've probably memorized them, but have you really thought about them as you say them? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is God's grace that brought each of us to the place that we occupy today. God's grace. It's not the grace of God that provides the food that we eat or the air that we breathe. No, that's God's mercy. And it's his love that provides those things. God's grace works inside of us to move our heart, to yearn after the things that please God and modify our lives to seek the path that God has set for us. It is his grace that modifies our behavior and direction to the place where God has something for us to do. And you are still breathing today. You have something to do. Too many times people give grace credit for what the mercy of God does. Our compassion for the things of God become the motivation for our service to him, and his Holy Spirit becomes the source of the power that supplies the energy to accomplish his will. The moment that we attempt anything in our own strength, we are doomed to fail, to fall flat on our spiritual face. You are a vessel. You are a vessel to contain God's grace. You are the vessel that God wants to pour his grace into for the purpose of distributing it all over the world, distributing it wherever you go to the people you meet. That can be accomplished through counsel or supply of biblical knowledge concerning a particular situation involving more than one person. God's grace will use you to be a counselor to the people around you. That's what we're here for. We're here to be used of God. As I said earlier, grace is not external, but part of our soul. And part of the ministry that God has called you and I to. He has called you to a ministry. Grace is for distribution. Grace is not for you to retain. God's grace is not given to you for you to hang on to or hoard. It's to share with the people around you. When you hand them a gospel tract, you're using God's grace. You're distributing God's grace. Grace is best when we give it away. It is good to experience. I like God's grace. But it is the reason that God bestows it is for dissemination among the lost to show them that God loves them. One of the things that God begins at the moment of our conversion is the molding of us into one of his emissaries, and that we might broadcast the gospel throughout the world. We help support several missionaries. On the first Sunday of each month, you have an insert in your bulletin. It is a prayer sheet for our missionaries and for the purposes of what this church operates. Those missionaries need your prayers. They are going through some very difficult times, some of them. And if you want, you can read their prayer letters. Then many of them send out a monthly prayer letter. They're on the bulletin board in the hallway. Read them. They're not having a good time out there necessarily. They're serving the Lord, and they're being used of the Lord to accomplish his purpose. And you are helping do that. By the way, as we're talking about missionaries, right now our mission fund is half a month behind. We need to catch it up, folks. We need to get ahead rather than be behind on it. Let God's grace provide some extra for you that you can help catch up our missions fund. God's grace does not prevent us from having to suffer affliction and tribulation, as sometimes that is the only way that we can be molded into what God wants us to be, the vessel that he needs to contain his grace, to share it. The person who has battled cancer to near the point of death is best able to feel compassion for the person who shares with them the fact that they too are experiencing that. You know, we cannot be effective in our help to people unless we have been through the same experiences ourselves. And so all the experiences that God brings into your lives and into my life are to help us to share his grace with the people around us. There's the old Indian saying, you know, don't judge a man till you've walked a mile in his moccasins. Okay. I don't like moccasins. But I don't mind going through the trials that others have gone through if it's going to help me minister to them more effectively. And that's why God puts the trials into your life, because there's someone out there that you can minister to. Because you have been through it, you have compassion, you have the love in your heart for them. Grace, like I said many times, causes us to experience things that we do not desire experiencing, in order that we might be better qualified to minister in a particular way to a particular situation. Peter addresses this in the fifth chapter of his first epistle. In 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11, he says, but the grace of I have made a mistake here. One second. 1 Peter 5. Okay. 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's a prayer of Peter. And it can be our own prayer. This passage in Peter is actually a prayer for the saints that Peter is writing to. Peter's prayer does not ask that God spare the suffering. No. But that the suffering might accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. He requests that the suffering might be brief and might make the recipient perfect for service, that it might establish a solid foundation, and that it will provide the strength to overcome any obstacle in the pathway. Notice that God is the God of all grace. That's where it comes from, people. Not just some of it. Whatever you need in the way of grace can be supplied by only God. Another person cannot supply it. God can. Suffering that is the will of God and not the result of sin will always be beneficial when it is completed. Let me say that again. Suffering that is the will of God and that is not a result of sin will always be beneficial when it is completed, because it molds you into an instrument that God can use. Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for your grace. May your grace be a part of every life here in this auditorium. Father, may we experience your grace in a way that helps us to share it with those in our lives and those we come across. We thank you, Father, for this being Mother's Day, that we can honor our mothers for those who are living. We thank you that you have sent grace into our lives in the form of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through him we can have eternal life and we can be used of thee to share that life with others around us. And Father, we're going to praise you for all the things that you do because of your grace. We're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.